Greetings to each one this morning. And before I get started this morning, so when he asked if you have something that happened this week or something that you can share about, and it's always awkward sitting back here. It's like, do I get up and push Dale out of the way? Or maybe I get one of them to carry the mic up here. And I said, you know, I was waiting until I get ready to get started, and I'll just do it before I start with the message here this morning. But this week we were privileged to be able to meet up with somebody, and this has nothing to do with us. We just get to see the fruits of somebody else, what they've done by being faithful. And as we, Janice and I, went shopping, we were at Lidl and ran into somebody there, and it was interesting. This person, by the children, they were like, I was walking around with the children, and they were like, now you're not usually here. And they've been watching. They go in there fairly often, and they notice the children. They recognize the children. And through conversation, we found out that this lady that was there had been to girls' camp and had come back from girls' camp. And the impact, and she was talking. She talked to Janice for a good little while there. And the impact that girls' camp and what she's learned and how that the difference that it's made in her life. And she was saying also that she still gets in contact with the counselor that was there. She contacts them every so often. Anyhow, it's just good to hear again by just being faithful and being used where God puts us. And sometimes we may never know it, and yet the difference that it makes in people's lives. So just again, an encouragement, and it was just a blessing to me to be able to hear that and how, you know, Christians all around and are faithful and how it impacts people's lives that we come in contact with, and maybe we even don't know it. So blessings to each one of you as you live your life, just through life, just being faithful to God. Message for this morning. And as I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, it seems like I've shared this message before. And I went back and looked at my notes, and I don't know that I have, but you're probably going to hear. You're going to hear it today, and you'll probably hear it again, because I think it's one of my most favorite, one of the favorite scriptures. And the title I have is "Loving God Completely." And Mark 12 verse 30 is the verse that I will start out with. Verse 29 says, Jesus answered and said. And he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. They were reasoning and trying to trap Jesus, actually. And Jesus answered and said, First of all, the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. The second is namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. This week, actually, it wasn't this week, it was last week, or it was one of the last, about week and a half somewhere. I was driving, it was down the Charleston area, went over to John's Island, and as I was coming back across the canal, there's a big canal that goes across the part of the river there that comes into the ocean. Anyhow, and I glanced out across, and I noticed something sitting out there, and it caught my attention. I looked again, and there was a boat that was stranded out there on a sandbar. And of course, if he's stranded on the sandbar, there's nothing he can do but just wait until the tide comes back in. He's got a long wait ahead. It's not like he can jump out of the boat and run to land because, well, he'd have to swim to get there. But anyhow, as I saw that, I wondered, I was thinking about this for the sermon anyhow, and how often in our Christian life, how easily in our Christian life, if we are not alert, how quickly and easily we can become stranded. Here in this scripture that we just read, when Jesus called them to look back at the commandment, when he talked about the greatest commandment, he was talking to the scribes and Pharisees here. And it is actually in three different of the Gospels. Two of the Gospels are the same story, would be in Matthew and also in Mark. In Luke, it was also mentioned, but it's actually a different story. It was about the Good Samaritan in Luke. But when all three times that he talked about the greatest commandment, all three times he was speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, the lawyers. And when he said the greatest commandment, their minds automatically go back to Deuteronomy 6, back to the law. And I want to turn back. I want to read Deuteronomy 6. I want to read the whole chapter this morning. When Jesus said that to the lawyers, the scribes here, they were impressed by his answer. They actually said I don't have it written down here, the exact words I said, but they were impressed and said it was a good answer. And these were scribes and Pharisees. They were college graduates. They had the degree. They study this inside and out. Deuteronomy 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. I was going to make a couple comments here before that. Where the children of Israel find themselves here, they've wandered in the wilderness, they've come out of Egypt, and Moses is getting old here. He is about to go into the promised land, and Moses is about to pass away here, and God is giving them the commandments before they move into the promised land. And it says that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou, thy sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and the houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the household of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. You shall not go after other gods, or the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. You shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Manasseh. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast all thine enemies from before thee as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time come, saying, What means the testimonies and statutes and judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then you shall say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, and upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. The children of Israel, they'd been wandering around. They had been in Egypt for over 400 plus years, cried for help in Egypt, wandered around in the wilderness. They were looking for the freedom. They were looking for the promised land. And yet, they wanted it along with the comforts. They wanted it on their own terms. Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, we see it says, you shall love. I want to look at five of the words in that verse this morning. And the first one is the verb, the first of all is the word love. This verb, this is a verb, which means it's action. Sometimes we talk about, you hear people talk about loving something, and then next thing it's gone, they don't love that no more, on to something else. This is not that type of love. This is a type of love that doesn't change. It's agape love. And Aaron, this morning you shared about the cross, and everything's about the cross, and it was very good this morning with that. And it's because of that cross, and because of God's love for us, that we love Him. The second one is heart. And I don't know, I like taking the strong, I have an app for the Strong's Concordance on my phone, and I enjoy taking it. And you can look up a word, and then you can see how many different ways that it is used. Some words have multiple words that are used with the very same meaning. And sometimes I can get sidetracked. I can spend a long time on just tracing all these down. I find it interesting. The word heart here in this verse in the New Testament is pretty much always used the very same way. There's not a lot of variation. The meaning is that it's the thoughts and the feelings, the middle, the will or the intellect, the center of everything is the meaning for a heart. Matthew 15:8 says, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. It's the very inner being. In Mark 2:8 it says, but there was a certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? There's actually 152 verses, so if you want to read, if you want to see all of them, you can look it up, I only put a couple of them here just to see, as it's the center of our being, of our heart. Then the next word is soul, and it is used, and it's described in two different ways. One of the ways is rational, the immortal soul, and the other is mere vitality, even of plants. Thus, heart plus life, mind, soul, plus us and you. It's just life. It's in 95 different verses and used as soul, life, mind, and heart. In Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? And that verse is basically speaking of just life. And then in Matthew 10:28, it says, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And in that case, it's talking about the immortal part, and those are the very same meaning. Then we go on to look at the mind. Deep thought. It's exercise, imagination, and understanding. It's used as mind, understanding, and imagination. All these words are used to describe this. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. This is the intellectual part of us, of you, of I, that will affect and influence the others, each other, and the others we come in contact. There was a quote that said this, when you fix your thoughts on God, God fixes your thoughts. And then the other one is strength. I like this one. It's forcefulness, ability, mighty power, and strength. In the Old Testament, it uses it as vehemently. In Ephesians 1:19, it says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know that the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power." And again in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." I found it interesting as I was looking up this word strength, found it interesting that everything that I could find in the New Testament that used the same meaning was always talking about either God's strength or the strength of angels. How interesting is it? Our strength comes from God, and our strength should be used to bring glory back to Him. So as we look at this verse, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength." What part of you is left out? It encompasses every part of my being. All these are knit together. They're all separate, and yet they all work together. If you were to lose any one of these, it would be pretty hard to function. If you were to lose your mind, you wouldn't be able to do a whole lot anymore. If you were to lose your strength, each one needs each other. God wants every part of you. He wants every part of me. Not just our heart, not just our mind, not just our strength, all of us. Psalm 103:1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." As the children of Israel were getting ready to move into the promised land, we read in verse 10, through 16, "And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest, the houses full of good things which thou fillest not, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." God's warning was to be careful how easily it would be for them to lose focus. Deuteronomy 6:15 says, "For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from the face of the earth." In Matthew 6:24 says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Stranded on the bar. How does it happen? Very slowly, the water moves out. Change takes place. Just recently, we were to the beach, and there was a spot where we were flying our kite and doing different stuff, and then there was a bar of water, and then there was another place where a bunch of people were at. And as the water kept moving in, it was filling up around behind them, and we talked about it, how quick, you know, they're out there oblivious to what's happened around, and before they would know it, they'd be caught and have to either wade or swim to get back over to the other side. Life is going to happen. Hard times will happen. Hurts will happen. We live in a fallen world. No one is perfect. Not even you. Not even I. These bring hurts. They bring disappointments. They bring misunderstandings. If we are not careful, these things shift our focus. we don't see the water moving out, we will find ourselves stranded. We must constantly be on guard, aware of our surroundings. So the question, how do I love God with my whole heart? To love God with all my heart, I will use my time, energy, talents, and resources to keep His commandments. I will seek God's kingdom over my own interests. I will be concerned about His kingdom and what has His approval. I will listen to the Word instead of the world. How do I love God with my soul? We have our own opinions, our feelings, our decisions that are independent of God. But as we turn our hearts to Him, our love for Him grows. As He infuses Himself into us, His thoughts become our thoughts, His feelings become our feelings, and His ways become our ways. How do I love God with my mind? As our minds master truth and are in turn mastered by it, the rest of our being inevitably follows. Hence, we find ourselves experiencing greater love for God as we hear and speak the truth we know. How much time do we spend reading and studying God's Word to increase what we know? Theology, or we could say God knowledge. All of us hold notions of God in our minds. The question is, are those notions true or false? And are they deep or are they shallow? There was a quote that said this, "In order to heighten our worship, we must deepen our theology." To love God with all my strength. I will love Him by spending my time and energy listening to Him, praising Him, thanking Him, and obeying Him. Love Him with your abilities to paint, write, garden, help others. Love Him with your influence in the workplace. Love Him with whatever talent He has given you. God has given us abilities and strength. How will you? How will I use it? There was a quote that said this, "If we love God with all of our strength, it will look like we are on a mission to make Him happy." Do you look like you are on a mission? Do I look like I'm on a mission to make God happy? In closing, we love God with all our heart when we love Him exclusively, Him and Him alone. We love God with our soul when we find satisfaction in Him more than any other person or thing. We love God with our mind when we make decisions to obey His every command. We love God with all our strength when we persevere in the face of every trial. When we do this, we will not get stranded. How are you? How am I loving God today? Scott, do you have a song? All right, 78 in the folder. And you can stand. Let's pray. God, this morning, thank You for Your love to us. Thank You, Jesus, for the cross, for dying on that cross. And Father, this morning we thank You for the freedom, the time that we can look into Your Word, to read Your Word, and to be encouraged by Your Word. And God, I just pray that You would be with each one of us this week. As we go, the different places we go, the different people we meet, God, help us to to pour ourselves to love you with everything that we have. And God, as we come in contact with others, that we could show that love to each of the people that we come in contact this week. God, I pray that you would guide our week. Pray that you would put us in touch with people that are thirsty, that are looking for you, that we could minister and reach out to them. And God, I just thank you for how you answer prayers and how you show your love to us from day to day. God, I just pray that you would guide our week. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Amen.